forged from greatness and an iconoclastic passion comes Rodman by Aloha Sun. This impressive 20,000 puffs disposable vape, inspired and endorsed by Dennis Rodman himself, features a slick dual texture design for a better grip, a chewy rubber mouthpiece for easier mouth to device contact, and a USB-C fast charging plus an efficient LED indicator so you can keep score of battery and juice levels. Easily adjust airflow using the switch at the base of the device, and you're all set to take the world on like a champ. Available in 14 unique flavors with bestsellers like Waterman, Blue Raz, and Cool Mint, and a one-of-a-kind flavors like Asahi Berry and Strawberry Ropes, Rodman delivers both quality and quantity. Now also available in nicotine pouches like Zyn, but tastier. Go to Rodman9K.com to get your head in the game with Rodman 20K. Disposables and nicotine pouches. As a special deal for our listeners, Rodman by Aloha Sun is offering 20% off your first purchase with the code DRINKBRO. Again, that's 20% off with the code DRINKBRO.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. We're coming at you, recording on a Wednesday, dropping on a Friday, so the gambling picks will be for the weekend. But I was going to say, we're coming at you after kind of an annoying loss last night. Braves dropped one late to the Cubs on, I guess they just do national broadcasts on TBS now on Tuesdays?
I don't know. I watched it on MLB TV.
Yeah. I was like flipping through the channels. I was like, what? The Braves are on? Why are the Braves on cable? And then I was like, all right. Frank Coor was the color guy. I don't remember who the player
was. I didn't watch that one. I watched the Braves broadcast.
Yeah, it was
on MLB TV. I should have watched the other one. I mean, I like the Braves broadcast. I like it when Frank Coor's on there with Brian or whatever his name is. But the new guy.
Nitkowski.
He's terrible.
He's just, it sounds like I could be listening to anyone's broadcast.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
I'm not a huge fan. I still like Gaudin.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, Gaudin's great. I mean, he's no Chip, but he's good.
Yeah.
He's perfectly fine.
Speaking of which, I think any day now, let me look it up. It's not Braves news, but Chip Carey and Joe Buck are doing a Cardinals broadcast together.
Oh, that's cool.
Like their dad and grandpa respectively did way back in the day.
They've done playoff games before together, I think.
Maybe.
Like first round on Fox, I think, back in the day.
Yeah, maybe a long time ago.
Yeah.
Buck's been too big for that for a while.
Joe Buck.
I think it's this Friday. So today, when this show drops today, Joe Buck and Chip Carey will be calling a game together. If you don't know, if you're a Cardinals fan, you probably know. But if you don't know, Joe Buck and Harry Carey used to both be Cardinals announcers.
Mm-hmm.
Then Harry Carey banged Augie Bush's wife.
In like 1958 or something like that. When it wasn't, you didn't casually bang rich people's wives back then. Now it's like... most of these CEOs these days look like they spend a little time in the cuck chair. You know what I mean?
But that
wasn't the case back then.
Yeah. So that's what, if you ever wanted to know how Harry Carey got his job in Chicago, he banged Augie Bush the fourth, one of the Augies.
Yeah.
Banged his wife. But yeah, so that'll be pretty sweet. I'll probably tune into that. That'll be fun. I miss like sarcasm in the booth. Chip Carey, Brandon Gaudin's pretty good about being goofy.
Alcoholism as well.
Yes.
Brandon talks more shit than any. He's like right on the line sometimes. I'm like, oh, you're going to go full Brenneman here. You better calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Dude.
He made a jerking off joke the other day.
I mean, when the fucking, what do they call it? When the sweeper, last year when the sweeper first came out, when everybody started calling it that, they were saying slutter for a while.
Yeah.
At the beginning, and it took like 2 weeks for people to realize that was not going to work.
Well, wasn't it? They would abbreviate the pitch on the scoreboard, and they would just say slut.
Yeah.
67 miles an hour, slut, 82 miles an hour, whatever.
How many people can throw the gyro ball?
The fuck is a gyro ball?
It's a Dice K's special pitch that was supposed to just obliterate American batters.
Did it work?
It was okay.
He never threw it.
I think Senga's ghost fork is probably better. I think it's that his ghost fork is the most swung and missed on pitch in baseball, right?
I believe. I'd have to check on that.
I think
that.
It is. Well, the splitter is definitely the most swung and missed pitch in baseball, but I think his particular, in particular, is like 60% or something like that.
What team is he on?
The Mets.
The Mets? Okay.
That's why you haven't heard of him.
What's weird is There's two Japanese pitchers who have been better than Yamamoto so far this year.
Yeah, the guy from the Cubs is the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Singa or whatever. And then Kikuchi of the Blue Jays has also been incredibly good so far this year.
The guy in the Cubs is Isha Emma something.
Emoto or Amato?
It's Imanaga.
Imanaga,
yeah. He's leading the league in fucking pretty much whip, ERA. I haven't seen the guy from Toronto yet, but...
He's solid. He's like a good number two.
Yeah. I like a good number two.
Yeah. Don't we all? But yeah, Chip and Joe in the booth, that'll be fun. I'll probably watch that instead of the Braves, just because not that I'm angry about the season so far or anything like that. I just that's a fun throwback. But getting into the season, not necessarily something that's made me angry, but annoying. Let's get to some injury updates, because oh my fucking God, everyone is still hurt. Obviously, Strider out for the year, blah, blah, blah on that. Riley... Austin Riley's been out. He just kind of left one day, and people were like, what's going on?
I think it's an oblique.
Yeah.
And which is not a great injury for a big, powerful dude like that. Like, it's going to take him a minute to, and who cares? Let him heal up.
Right.
There's no fucking rush.
It's a nagging thing that you don't want to rush and then make worse or whatever. Mm-hmm. He has been cleared to swing, but who knows, you know, how many more weeks. That could be like 3 more days or 3 more weeks, depending on how he feels or whatever. The only reason I bring that up is because his backup probably lost us the game last night with his little drop pop fly right out of the fucking glove. I mean,
he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
But that was not very good.
That was not ideal. I think Arcia might be waving him off some more balls in the future, but who knows. Good news on the injury front, though. I'll reverse this real quick. Pierce Johnson off the IL. Mm-hmm. He's back. One of our best relievers. Thank fucking God. Pitching has been the saving grace of this team so far. And Sean Murphy has begun his rehab assignment. He hit a 400-foot bomb to dead center, 110 off the bat in the minor leagues. He's expected to be back next week.
Yeah. He also threw a runner out.
Nice.
Which is not surprising. I think the league average is 22%, and he was like 32% last year. He's got a hose, that dude.
What do you think he's going to add to the lineup coming back? Because it's not like Darno's been a slouch, but it does feel like, I don't know, maybe Murphy's a little... If people forget, he kind of fell off the end of last year, but he was an animal in the first half of last year.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's going to take him a minute to get his timing and readjust to major league pitching, probably. To be honest,
he'll probably be full on like every other day for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, it's a huge boost for day games, right? Because now I don't have anything against Chadwick Tromp. I like him, but, you know, now it's your Tromp is out. And so Darno would be the guy doing like a Wednesday day game or a Sunday day game instead of a sort of batless catcher.
Yeah.
So, it's just one less hole in the lineup for one out of every 6 to 8 days or whatever, I guess.
And he's, legit 20 to 30 home run guy.
Yeah.
He's got power. It's good to have both of those guys rocking at the same time, for sure. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, that's not what we're missing right now. Darno's been okay. He's been good. I mean, I think it mostly helps with the pitching staff, right? Like relievers, especially who, it's the first 6 innings of a game are what they are, but the last 3 are high stress, no matter what the situation is, typically, unless it's a blowout one way or the other. So I think having, we have the luxury to have 2 veterans out there at the same time.
Yeah, it's huge. They said during the broadcast last night that I didn't realize is that, I don't know if it's for the full season, but maybe for the last like month at least, something like that, Atlanta has the fewest bullpen innings pitched.
That's not surprising, considering. I mean, other than Elder, which we'll get to later, starting pitching has been pretty great this year.
Yeah. I mean, even in games we lose, like last night, I mean, Charlie Morton gave you everything you could possibly want, and he wasn't necessarily like exceedingly sharp, but he only gave up probably 2 earned runs, I would imagine. Considering the third guy got to second base on an error, got reach base on an error or whatever. But Morton was great. Obviously, Fried and Sale have been just lights out, especially after Fried's first 2 starts. And then I don't know who the fuck Ronaldo Lopez is still, but
he's getting it done.
Holy shit.
I don't give a shit who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he's an alien. People have tried to here and there start him before, and they've given up too quickly. coming onto the Braves is definitely a different situation, right, than he was in before, because the look, everybody in Major League Baseball is a professional. There's not a whole lot of knuckleheads around. You just can't exist at that level if you're a knucklehead. But there are levels of stuff, right? And the Braves front office and coaching, aside from their managers, like, they've had like elite coaches and shitty managers. Yeah. Ever since we were kids, basically, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Leo Mazzoni, look, I love Bobby Cox, and the number of wins speaks for itself to an extent. And actually, I'll give Cox extra credit, too, since he was...
Because he got kicked out of a full season's worth of games?
Yeah, yeah.
162 goddamn games?
Yeah, it's fucking insane. I mean, and he built that 90s Braves team, too, right? Like, he was the GM from 86 to 90, and then hired himself as manager, and fucking hired John Schuerholz to replace him as general manager.
Which is, I mean, yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's we've always had great coaches, which is nice. You know, I mean, it's an advantage that you don't think about that much in baseball. You think, like, 'cause we don't talk about it that much in football. We talk about the OC and DC all the time.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's got it. Coach is good, but the DC sucks. We get a new guy. We never think about that for managers. And now the Braves have, it isn't like other places. A lot of places have, they have some mix of these things, but typically the kind of guy that ends up being a coach on your team is like a former bullpen catcher or something like that, right? Somebody that didn't quite make it. Bobby Cox was a bullpen catcher for the most part. He had some cups of coffee, like Macho Man Randy Savage, but he wasn't like Joe Torre. Joe Torre was an elite fucking all-star.
Yes.
For years. Bobby Cox was just okay.
No. Yeah. He did get to play. I think he was on the Mantle Yankees, but didn't do anything.
No, he didn't. But then you look down the roster for the Braves coaches, and it's like Walt Weiss and Eddie. Like, say what you want about Eddie Perez. People don't know that I guess people in the broader Major League Baseball fan base don't know that Greg Maddux selected him personally to do his catching, right? Which is like, that's like, I don't know, Gordon Ramsay asking you to be a sous chef.
Right, it's like,
okay, cool. This guy knows fucking baseball.
Yeah.
Like, he's the kind of guy that can get on the level with a guy like Maddux, who's thinking 3 to 5 moves ahead, right? Sometimes games ahead, sometimes all the way to the play. I'm not going to show this guy this pitch right now because I might have to throw it to him in the playoffs. That's Eddie Perez. That's our bench coach, right? So that's really important to have guys like that. Snitker is like a fucking, he's like moss on a log. I don't know why he even exists, to be honest. I fucking hate him. Finally, the rest of Braves Kingdom is starting to come around on that and hate him too, but it's too late for you guys to jump on that train with me.
You should have. He's going to have to fuck something up royally to not be the manager.
Yeah, he's been in the organization for 50 fucking years. They're not going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But at any rate, the Braves have been going through it lately. A lot of injuries. The offense has been anemic, to say the least.
Just a little lost, it looks like. It just feels like they're not seeing the pitches, or there's not a... I mean, you know, like, when I was talking with Acuna, it's like, do you have a plan, bro? But it feels like that way with a lot of the guys now. And then you've just got... Riley's out now. Olsen's cold. Although I mentioned at the beginning of the year, Olsen has this weird, like, every other year situation. I don't know if it's even year odd year. I guess it's odd year. Odd year good, even year bad. Or not bad, but even year down. And I mean, it's the whole fucking offense has basically been buoyed by Marcell Ozuna and I don't know, whoever the fuck else wants to contribute.
Yeah, it's been kind of random. I mean, last season the Braves scored 900 fucking runs, 950 actually.
Yeah.
They were about 40 ahead of the next closest person. And this year they're in the middle of the pack, like right in the middle. They've scored 206 runs and the leader is 60 ahead of them. So, night and day difference. I mean, the results aren't terribly different, to be frank.
I think we're one of only 4 teams in the National League with a winning percentage 600 or better.
Yeah, we're right at 600 right now. Yeah. Six games back of the Phillies, which who cares about that? That doesn't mean anything. Winning that division is probably the worst thing that could happen to the Braves, to be honest. But I think they're in good shape. They've been bad on the road. The offense has been bad, but the pitching has been incredible. I mean, they've got, let's see, I think only the Yankees have had better pitching this year. Yeah, that's right. And by 2 runs. And the gap after that is pretty wide. So the pitching
just in terms of runs allowed.
Yeah, runs allowed.
Oh wow.
So Yankees have allowed 165 and the Braves have allowed 167. I think the next closest is like 178. Yeah. At any rate, no, I'm sorry, it's 172. There've been a lot of problems so far.
And there's still, I mean, I think the other day they were saying we had a better record than we did at this point last year.
I mean, 600 winning percentage is 97 wins.
Right.
Like, how can you complain about that? And look, yeah, the Phillies right now are six games up, but that ain't going to last.
Let's talk about the cowards that are the Philadelphia.
Yeah, let's.
Phillies.
I mean, they don't make their own schedule, but they still are cowards. The only team they've played all season that has a record above 500 is us.
Yes, and they lost.
Like, literally.
Series.
Well, no, we lost.
No,
they did. Yeah, we 2-3. We took that one.
Yeah, we took 2-3 in that series.
Yeah, so they've played Cincinnati, Washington, St. Louis, and Cincinnati, Washington, last place team. St. Louis,
close to last.
I think they're second to last in that division. Pittsburgh's third to last, also under 500. Colorado's last place. Cincinnati again. San Diego is like four games under 500, I think.
They're right in the middle of the division, but yeah.
Yeah. The Angels, who we don't have to fucking expand on that. The Giants, who are...
They're decent, but under 500.
They're three games under 500 as well. And then Toronto, which they're terrible.
Man, fuck the Blue Jays forever.
Yeah, Miami's bad. The Mets are bad, and then Washington again. Now they're playing Texas, which is the second team they've played all year.
Now, granted... Texas is actually under 500 right now.
That one game, yeah. So, but
however,
not after today.
They're a talented team, so it's
because we beat them.
Well, they weren't over 500 before you beat them.
They were 500.
Yeah, you have to be over 500.
Yeah, whatever. You fucking bitch.
You guys are just, you know, this is a shame. It's a shame that Braves fans have fallen so low that they have to attack the best team in baseball. It's crazy. You're not comfortable in your own skin. I get it.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Fortunately for us, the Phillies have only built a paltry six-game lead. It's sad, really, to be that, to do so little with so much. But it's the Braves' turn. I actually don't know what the Philly schedule looks like coming up. I did not check on that. But Atlanta's turn on the fucking children's Jeopardy is coming up.
Where we actually don't play a team. Over 500 all year, so.
What?
We don't play a team over 500 all year, so.
I mean, so after this Texas series, they'll play Colorado, and then the Giants again, the Cardinals again, then Milwaukee is a good team. But then they play the Mets, and they play Boston, then at Baltimore, and then San Diego and Arizona. Detroit, Miami. God damn it, man.
Good Lord.
You guys have the easiest first half I think I may have ever seen. You do play... At Chicago, which is tough, then at Atlanta, and then Dodgers at home.
Yeah.
So that's fucking nine games that are going to suck for you guys.
Brewers are tough.
I said the Brewers are good. Brewers are good. Arizona's good. Baltimore's good. So you got some...
It's a rough stretch.
You got a couple in there, but for the most part, this is a super friendly first half. You really got to...
Stack wins.
You guys should try to fucking push it to 10 games over the Braves, I think. And you probably will. Frankly, because I don't think the Braves are going to stop struggling.
So that's where I'm saying. Remember, we talked about this last year and in 2022. We were like, okay, we've been whatever so far, but look at this portion of the schedule right here. This is the portion where it's like in a horse race, right? It's like if he's going to make his move, it's going to be at this length or whatever the fuck they call it in horse racing. But and that is where the Braves are about to hit after this series in Chicago, which hopefully we can take it. We shit away the first game, but hopefully we can take the next two and get a series win against a second place team that is fighting for that division title.
I mean, tonight's a good matchup. It's Max Fried, Justin Steele. We'll see how that goes. I mean, obviously this will come out after these games have been played, but starting today as we're broadcasting at Pittsburgh, that's good. Washington at home, that's good. Then Oakland, then at Boston, at Washington. That's a pretty good stretch.
I mean, even
about
the rest
15
of it.
Games.
Tampa, Detroit.
Well, at Baltimore is a tough series, but yeah, Tampa and Detroit, the Yankees are that depending on the pitching matchup, that could be good or bad for you.
Yeah.
If it's the back of their rotation and the back of our rotation, we win those games because their back of rotation is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the fifth spot in ours here in a minute. And then St. Louis, a makeup game with the White Sox, Pittsburgh again, San Francisco again. They suck. Then we play Philly.
So that's so basically we have two series over 500 in that in this stretch that's coming up from May 24th to July 4th.
Yeah.
The Orioles and the Yankees, hopefully. I mean, but the back of the Orioles rotation, it's better than the back of the Yankees rotation, but it's, you know,
it's still pretty weak. Yeah. Vulnerable. But they've got, their offense is super consistent.
Yes.
They're so far, I mean, this year. So
look, I'm
a big fan of that team.
I like the Orioles a lot. Mm-hmm. I agreed. However, this is our chance to make a move. And if we can, it's the type of thing where you just want to be, even at the half, if it's like a basketball analogy, right? You just want to be tied at half type of
Yeah.
Situation.
I mean, we'll look, when you say even, we'll be, I think we'll actually be a little bit higher than 600. I think we'll be like 615, 620 winning percentage.
Yeah.
By the end of the first half, which again, that's going to be 100 win pace. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll in the second half things will start to come back. The Braves and Phillies will get quite a bit closer, probably. But still, I would prefer it if the Phillies win the goddamn division
for the bye.
Yeah, I've had enough of this shit.
The bye is driving me fucking insane. But yeah, as of today, we played 18 games against teams over 500, which is about middle of the pack for good teams. Mm. Obviously, like last place teams, they have a million games against teams over 500 because they can't play themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the stretch after this Cubs series. And again, obviously, hopefully we win this Cubs series. But this is the point in the season where we can get to, yeah, back to 100 win pace. Close that gap. We don't need to be tied with the Phillies, but maybe within 3 to 5 games against the Phillies going into the series.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't really even care about that. I just we need to be quite a bit ahead of the Cubs at that point. That to me is what we should be concerned about.
You know, I'm not.
But it doesn't really matter who wins the fucking division. It doesn't matter. It's we've seen over the last 10 years that it doesn't matter. Actually, the last 20 years that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, unless it's your only way to get into the playoffs.
Sure. Yeah, if you're in the Central, you got to win.
Right.
For sure. But
well, if you're in the Braves when we won the World Series, right? There was the NL East was for whatever reason was ass that year, and we won it with 88 games.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not going to be the case this year.
No,
because the bottom three in the NL East are fucking terrible. Those are easy wins. So the Phillies and Braves are just going to stack up wins in those two. I think it's the Cubs that we got to keep an eye out for, which is, you know, whatever. But we'll see how that goes.
The West has been kind of, I don't know how to get a read on it. The Giants are about as middling as I expected. They were intriguing, but I don't know that they're going to do anything. Although I still do like their pitching, and I like that they have pieces. Maybe, you know, they got plenty of time, obviously.
Yeah, and then fucking Arizona's got like the fourth worst ERA in baseball as a team, which is crazy. Because you had everybody come back, and you added Jordan Montgomery, and you still can't fucking get it together.
That's crazy.
Not great. Maybe it's, I don't know, fatigue or something. Maybe people are hurt. Maybe there's no leadership. Who knows? Or maybe that's just baseball. Who knows? We got our own problems to worry about. Fuck those guys. And one of our problems right now is Bryce Elder. Like the number five spot in our rotation has been pretty much an auto loss this year.
Yeah.
Which is, you can't look, you don't need a fucking sub three ERA and a one whip out of your fifth starter. You need more than what we're getting.
Yeah. I mean, you can easily get by with the fifth starter who's got a low four ERA mm-hmm. and a 1.3 whip. You know what I mean? You can make that work. But Elder keeps getting shelled, and I just kind of wonder how much time is left for him for the Braves to be like, okay, this guy's...
Well, he got sent down.
He did. I know he did, but
Between two games of a doubleheader,
yeah.
Which is not... That's never a good thing.
Yeah.
And they brought up Darius Vines, who's going to get the next start, it looks like, but I don't know that he's a solution either.
Yeah. Smith-Shawver still in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and he's not looked great.
Yeah,
in the minors. Hurston Waldrop is also in Double A right now. He's not looked particularly great.
I don't think this is the year to bring Waldrop up personally.
But. Well, I mean, I read an article from the Constitution the other day, and it was like the year the Braves mounted that big comeback was largely on the back of Strider and Harris, right? Mm-hmm. Who had performed well in the minor leagues, but they weren't like going crazy or anything. They just brought him up because they needed him, really.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, Waldrop's a big prospect, right? He's one of the biggest prospects I think the Braves have had since Acuna, to be honest. And then Perdomo will be the next one that comes up in 2 years or so or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's 17 right now. But he's the next Andrew Jones. And I don't mean that he's going to reach that level. I just mean young guy signed from Latin America who's going to make it in early, probably at 19 or 20 years old. At any rate, there's a lot of discussion about how to handle this. I think maybe you throw you could throw Waldrop in there and see if pressure makes diamonds, mm-hmm. right? Because he's an older guy. He's 23. Like, he went to college.
Yeah,
he's got some seasoning, and he's got plenty of talent. Another possibility I've heard is that the Braves might trade for Zach Eflin from the Rays because the Rays are not in it anymore.
Yeah,
but he's been hurt twice this year. He's gone on the DL now once for his back, not his arm or anything. But
yeah,
and he's not looked particularly good this year either.
No, I think I dropped him from my fantasy team. I mean, yeah, 4.12 ERA. Let's check the WHIP.
But if you're talking about 1.17, which is not bad,
that is good. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, on the Braves, a 1.17 WHIP probably translates into a better ERA and win loss record, frankly.
Yeah, his expected ERA is a very respectable 3.55, and yeah. XFIP is 3.77. So I mean, he's better than he doesn't strike people out. Mm. He's six per nine right now this year. Rolls around, looks between 8 and 9 in the last 3 years. Yeah, I mean, Eflin's a fine fifth starter, certainly. Is that the main name you've heard so far?
As far as trades go, yes. But good pitchers on bad teams right now, there aren't a lot of them, right?
I think, and the ones that are there are like Skeens for the fucking Pirates.
They're not. There's no way they're getting rid of him.
Right.
They have a couple of other dudes on the Pirates that are pretty good. There are a couple of guys on the Indians that we were looking into, but they are fucking winning that division right now, so they're obviously not going to fucking sell anything.
Yeah.
And then there's some internal options we mentioned. I mean, maybe Darius Vines does something. I don't know. I doubt it. He seems like more of a long reliever to me, but
I don't think, yeah.
Smith-Shawver, like if we, to be honest, trading Smith-Shawver for Eflin right now would make sense. It sucks, but it would make sense.
Yeah.
And then if Fried were to leave next year, then you just have Strider coming back into that spot, and you still have a full rotation if you bring back Morton and stuff.
And then Sale's on a 1 year deal,
3 year deal,
3 year deal. Yeah. Okay, so we still
he's around for two more years. Great. Yeah. And then there's the other option that I've heard, and this is from people familiar with Anthopoulos, is Ray Kerr. You know this guy. It's like the skinny black left-hander that's been pitching for us a little bit here and there.
I don't recall him off the top of my head.
Mm. He weighs like, he's 6'3", 185 pounds.
Okay.
Listed at 185, which means he's less than that because they're trying not to make him look like a little child. He's 29. He's bounced around a little bit. He's pitched well in the past for San Diego the last 2 years, actually, pitching relief. but there's talk of stretching him out into a fifth starter right now.
Interesting.
Because they really like his peripherals. I mean, right now he's got a 0.96 whip.
2.89 ERA. Yeah,
strikes out a batter per inning. Doesn't really walk that many people. One every three innings, so three a game in a 9-inning game, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That'd be a 2-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, so that's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know what they see in the guy. He's looked really good for us in pretty much every game he's pitched, except for one, I think. So he's looked really good. I'm not sure what they see in him, but there I have heard people talking about stretching him out into a fifth starter, but that takes 3 months, right? That's not an immediate solution. Maybe that's what they're thinking, that we'll bring up Vines for a bit, we'll bring up Smith-Shawver for a bit, we'll bring up Waldrop for a bit, yeah. And let him.
I mean, we kind of did that with Strider, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he started as a long reliever.
And even remember his first couple starts, he didn't even get to 5 innings, yeah. Really. It was more like, all right, you just throw until you're out of gas, and we'll stretch you out on the mound in mm-hmm. live action, and it's fine. But, yeah, it seems like this is the end of the rope for Bryce Elder.
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably gets packaged with somebody and goes, like, I think he gets traded this deadline.
Yeah. And look, we like Bryce Elder. Mm. You know, he's a gamer, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the numbers are just... ERA is over 6. He's walking 4 guys per 9. His hard hit percentage is almost 50%. So, when people are making contact, 50% of the time, they're ripping it.
Yeah.
And the batting average on balls in play against him to that point is 400. So if you make contact and put it in play against Bryce Elder, you're hitting 400.
That's not
you're
okay.
Fucking Ty Cobb.
Not okay.
Yeah, it's not what you want. I liked Bryce Elder a lot. Kind of thought he was sort of like an Ian Anderson type of dude, but yeah, he just has not. Doesn't seem like it's working out for the Braves, unfortunately. Do you think there probably won't be any splashes in terms of rotation stuff, just patchwork?
For now, yeah, but I mean, I could see it at the deadline, certainly. It depends on how we come out at the break playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, you don't need five starters to win in the playoffs.
No.
So do you want to give up? Do you want to mortgage your future for a fifth starter? I don't know that I would do that. No, but
certainly not.
If somebody becomes available that looks, and this is, you know, this is how fucking how Anthopoulos operates. If he looks like he's going to be an option for the next couple of years as well.
Yeah.
Right? Like what Eflin would be, frankly.
Yeah.
He would be a guy that might be somewhere between 3 and 5 in the rotation and not just a solid fifth starter.
He has in his best years, he has been, I'd say, as good as a third starter.
Yeah. Certainly. So, I mean, that is an option if they wanted to package maybe a position player or send Elder and one of the Smith-Shauber over to Tampa Bay. That might be too much for just Eflin because I'm not sure what kind of contract he's on. But, yeah, I could see them making that move for sure. But we don't know what other pitchers are going to become available. I mean, Jordan Hicks is lighting it up for San Francisco right now, but they fucking suck. And they have no chance of winning that division. And they need like a real rebuild at some point, I think.
Yeah, they are really just trying to plug gaps with interesting projects and veterans and stuff like that. And it worked that one time when they beat the Dodgers for the division in 2021, when the Braves won the World Series. When they, even though the Dodgers won like what, like 108 games or 107 games, something like that, they beat them by one fucking game to win the division. Dodgers ended up beating them in the DS, which is brutal, but it is what it is. Yeah, Hicks has been electric, and he is on a 4-year, $44 million contract right now. Mm-hmm. He is just now a starter for the first time. What's interesting about Hicks, though, diving into his numbers real quick.
I mean, people begged, he personally begged the Cardinals to make him a starter for years.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, we need you over here. Like, you throw 103 miles per hour, we want you for the bullpen.
Yeah. And then he finally got out of there, became a starter.
One goddamn season it took to figure it out.
Best year. Now, what's interesting about that, looking at his numbers real quick, because you're like you said, he's a hard thrower. At one point he was the hardest thrower in the league. He was like 102 or something like that. Strikeouts per nine this year is 6.79. He's not striking people out, but
are you looking at his Fangraphs? What's his average fastball? Mile per hour. I bet it's under 100 now.
I'll check. But I mean, that's clearly purposeful, right? Like, he's pitching differently because he's doing a different thing. Let's see. I don't know where velocity is here. Oh, here we go. Four seam fastball velocity. Here, I'll read it by year. Four seam fastball velocity for Jordan Hicks: 2018, 101, 2019, 101, 2021, 101, 2022, 98, 2023, 100. This year, 96.7.
There it is, folks.
He's also...
command is just as important as speed. And if you don't believe me, the best pitcher in the goddamn league right now is a little Japanese left-hander who throws like fucking 85 miles per hour. He's like Jamie Moyer 2.0. I think Imanaga's average fastball is like 91 or something like that.
Yeah, he doesn't
and
throw he's still, hard.
And he pitches up in the zone, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to throw 100 miles per hour to be a good baseball player. Most of the pitchers in the Hall of Fame didn't throw 100 miles per hour. There's a couple, Bob Gibson, Nolan Ryan, right?
Yeah.
But and Walter Johnson. But then I'm thinking like Tom Glavin, Greg Maddux, Smoltz threw 97.
Yeah, I mean, right? That was definitely like what you would call heat for Smoltz. But I mean, there's a million.
But Pedro threw in the fucking low 90s.
Yeah,
he could hit mid to high sometimes.
And he racked up strikeouts.
Yeah.
Schilling, well, he's not in the Hall of Fame, I guess, but Schilling was one of those guys that was mid-90s at best.
Other than Andrew Jones, the most egregious non-Hall of Famer is Curt Schilling,
yes.
For fuck's sake, man. I know he's an asshole, but goddamn, Ty Cobb stabbed people and said racist shit.
Yeah.
Can we just move past it for fuck's sake?
Ty Cobb ran up into the stands and beat up
a homeless or a fucking crippled person.
Disabled person. Yeah, fucking. He didn't have hands.
Well, I mean, maybe if he had hands, he wouldn't have got his ass kicked.
Yeah, and he beat the shit out of him because he called him black. So I'm just saying.
That's fucking
it wasn't that different of a time. No, I mean, it was a different time.
Well, but, certainly a different time. It was pre-Civil like, Rights Act, but not. I don't think by any measurable standard it was okay to beat up a cripple. Oh, man. But I could see, back to the point here, I could see them. I mean, the Braves do this shit. They find diamonds in the rough quite a bit. There's a couple of teams that are really good at that. The Braves are definitely one of them. And I could see them turning Ray Kerr into a starter. He's got the stuff for it. The question is, what does he look like the second and third time through the order? Because he's never done that in his career.
Yeah.
Like, he averages about 3 innings per outing, typically. So I don't know. That 3 innings per outing, that means maybe 1.5 times at most through the lineup. Oh, man.
And then, is this the year Ian Anderson comes back?
He might be back in August, I think.
So this article from February 20th says June or July. I don't know what the update is on that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I would put him and Elder in a package together and get Eflin in. I would be more than happy to give both of them up for Eflin for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, Wright and Soroka are gone. Man, it's crazy that Wright won 20 games for us and he's already fucking gone. Smith, Shawver, and Weldon. I mean, I would be interested to at least see what Ian Anderson has. But because he's another guy that I really liked, but he does also strike me as an Elder type where it's like, if you're not doing exactly what you need to do, and that's what Maddox always talked about too. He's like, I got away with more when I was younger because I had more velocity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's got to, I don't know, but the difference is, well, not the difference, the similarity between the two and the struggles they had were lack of command, but also lack of command in the strike zone was a bigger deal for Ian Anderson. So he would walk people, but he would also throw, he would hang a changeup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Elder is not that bad at missing inside the zone. His problem is fucking walking people.
Yeah.
And then giving up soft contact because he can't fucking strike people out. You know what I mean? Or a hard contact, rather, because he can't strike people out. That's his issue. So we'll see. I mean, there's options. Bringing somebody in from outside, like Eflin, would be really nice. It's always good to have fresh blood in a pennant race, as we saw in 2021, and then in the playoffs as well. And it also insulates us a little bit from whatever may or may not happen with Max Fried in the offseason.
Yeah.
Which is also nice. And then you got to think, bringing in Eflin, even if we sign Max Fried again, is Charlie Morton going to retire after this year? He's going to be 41 next year.
Yeah, how many years? I mean, look, he's probably having a very good time making $20 million on one-year contracts playing baseball.
And he's doing pretty well, too. It's hard to argue with the results of that. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think they'll probably go outside. I mean, that's what I would probably package Elder and somebody else and get Eflin if it were me. But TBD, time will tell. I'm not a Snitker fan, but Anthopoulos can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I have no qualms with any moves he makes. Maybe some of them don't work, but so many of them have worked already. That's like, I mean, you can miss sometimes.
I mean, I'll say it's a little too early to call just because he needs to be healthy all season, but the most recent one is to point to is Chris Sale.
Yeah.
And honestly, even Kelnick. Obviously, Kelnick started hot, has cooled off, but
I mean, even just his fucking defense in left field has been great.
We have the best outfield for arms in baseball, if not the best outfield defense in baseball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when
Acuña
decides to play baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Real quick, I'm going to get to the ads before we get to this week's gambling picks. Obviously, we gamble at mybookie.com. You go to mybookie.com, use the promo code DRINKINBROS to double your first deposit up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they will give you $1,000. You put in $50, they'll give you $50. You get the point. Whatever you put in, they'll match all the way up to $1,000. You can bet on baseball. You can do like me and Dan Register do, Delco Dan. Play blackjack at their live casino. It's real dealers. It's real human beings. So you're not getting ripped off by a computer that's just like magically getting blackjack every three hands. Even though sometimes the dealers will do that and you'll scream at them and accuse them of cheating and they can't hear you. So it's fun. You can say whatever you want to them. In a way, it's like those women screaming in the forest, but it's me screaming at my computer at sure, an Antiguan woman. But yeah, the casino's dope. A lot of college football week one lines are out already. I think all the NFL week one lines are out already. Don't bet those yet, but when you do bet them on MyBookie. But there's baseball, there's golf. I believe there's still the third of the Triple Crown horse races if you want to bet that. The Preakness already happened. What's the third one?
Belmont.
Yeah, we also got Indy 500 this week.
Yeah, Indy 500 is this week. We'll do that on... actually, you guys should cover that on golf.
Yeah, just shove that in there.
Yeah, just shove that in there.
And then Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. There's a ton of stuff to bet. So go to mybookie.com to do it. They got great live lines, too. And if you bet parlays like we do in baseball, which we are about to talk about, what's cool is if most of them hit, you can cash out.
Mm-hmm.
So mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros. Double your first deposit up to $1,000. Let's get into this week's gambling picks. There are some really good series to bet on this week.
Yeah, especially the weekend. I mean, mine are on Saturday. I don't know what day you picked.
I took Friday.
Okay, so will you go first?
Okay, so I got, and again, these are a lot of just like, a lot of matchups I like. Dodgers over the Reds. Let me pick, actually go to that day real quick just so I can see the pitching matchups to further justify what will ultimately be a failed parlay. But the Dodgers-Reds I like because the Reds, by the way, what the fuck is going on with the Reds? I am just very disappointed in them so far this year.
There's way too much talent on that team for them to be performing the way they are. Somebody's got to step up and be a leader at some point. And you would think maybe start with the manager, probably. But
the manager, maybe they should have kept Votto around for one more year. Not that he's exactly rah-rahing the Blue Jays to success. But so the Dodgers playing the Reds. It's at Cincinnati, so you'll probably get a little bit better odds. But the Dodgers have an advantage in the pitching matchup for sure. Paxton's 5-0 with a 2.84 ERA. Ashcraft been pretty mediocre this year, and the Dodgers lineup is fucking insane. Orioles. Over the White Sox, Corbin Burns going against the White Sox. I will not explain further. Cubs over the Cardinals. Same situation. Obviously, the Cardinals fucking suck. The Cubs are very good in second place, but threatening for the division lead. Imanaga, 5-0 with a .84 ERA going against Miles Mikolas, who is maybe one of the five worst pitchers in baseball this year. Phillies against the Rockies. Not going to bother to go beyond that. The Phillies are going to continue beating the shit out of AAA teams like the cowards they are. And then I got the Diamondbacks over the Marlins. Gallen is going against a Marlins pitcher with an ERA in the tens.
Mm.
So that feels good. If you want to, I might get crazy and just do a really big one and slap on maybe two other matchups I kind of liked. The Royals with Lugo are at the Rays. Rays pitcher has not been announced yet. It is at the Rays, but Lugo's 7-1 with a 1.79 ERA.
Lugo looks great.
And, you know, there's a couple other interesting ones. What was I looking at? Oh, Guardians against the Angels. The pitching, neither pitcher is very good in that game, but the Guardians are obviously the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And then... this one, a little more of a gamble. You might actually get really good odds on it, though, and it would be the last leg of your parlay, is Yankees at the Padres. Yu Darvish is going for the Padres. He's been great so far this year, but Rodon is going for the Yankees on the road. So it'll be good odds, I imagine. Yeah. Maybe even plus odds.
Yeah, I'm going on Saturday and starting off afternoon games with the Braves. Ronaldo Lopez against the Pirates, I'll take that. Mitch Keller's pitching for the Pirates. He's their best guy, but, well, maybe. We'll see about Skanes. But, I think the Braves will win that game. Next up, Royals, who are on fucking fire. Not so much on the road, but the Rays suck this year, and Aaron Civale has got a 6 ERA. He's going against Brady Singer, who's fucking lighting it up this year. He's pitched great.
Royals, I don't know what's gotten into him.
Yeah,
they're fun.
Yeah, they look great. So I'll take that one. Next one is Giants over Mets. Jordan Hicks is pitching against Luis Severino, is actually the one bright spot for the Mets rotation this year.
Yeah,
but still, it's the Mets. They'll find a way to lose because they're fucking terrible and retarded. Next is, you know, I skipped over this Orioles at White Sox game because Fetty has been good for the White Sox. He's pitched really well. He's the only pitcher on that team that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
And he's going against Kramer, who's not been great for Baltimore. He's been okay. So I'm skipping to the Rangers over the Twins. Lorenzen's going to light the Twins up. Twins are middling at best. Then Astros over the Athletics. No need to say more. This might be a game where Framber Valdez can get his shit together a little bit because he's had some ups and downs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good park to do it in.
It is for sure. Yeah. Next up is Cubs at Cardinals. This is a bit of a rivalry game, but Libertor for St. Louis is the only guy that's been worse on that team is Makalaka, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah. The Greek.
And James Talion's going for, the Cubs, he's been good this year.
I'm surprised he's the Yankees didn't trade him, right?
He must have been a free agent because I don't know what trade would have gone.
But he was solid for the Yankees.
Yeah, he was a solid 3-4 guy. And then Phillies over the Rockies, obviously. Aaron Nola's going for the Rockies. It's in Colorado, so it might fuck his ERA up a little bit. But Hudson is 1-7 for the Rockies, and he's going to get shelled. The Phillies might fucking score 25 runs on this asshole. And then last but not least. Yankees, Marcus Stroman going against Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease has been good, but I got to think something big is going to – and again, this is the last one on your parlay, so if you've won all the other ones before this, you know, feel good about it, go ahead and cash out. But I added it because I think Soto is going to go into San Diego and fuck somebody up. that like he's a big-time game performer, and this is one of the bigger games of the year for them so far. So
I think we I wonder who the prohibitive favorite for the World Series is right now, because it feels like the Yankees, which is weird to say because of the Yankees, but are kind of like sneakily should be the favorite to win the World Series.
I would assume it's the Dodgers right now. Let's see
right now as of Dodgers are short favorite too. The Yankees are third. The Braves still number two.
It's a lot of confidence in a team that can't fucking score runs. But
yeah, actually the Yankees are third, but barely. That we're tied on some. This lists like every single one, like every single book, and we have the same odds on some and better odds on others. So yeah, Dodgers number one by a pretty good amount, though. I don't like that. I would take the Yankees and I know the Dodgers just clowned us, but if all three teams are operating at peak or near peak functionality, I would take both the Yankees and Braves over the Dodgers.
Yeah,
I would take the Phillies over the Dodgers too, for that matter. So yeah, I don't know, but those are our baseball bets. Obviously, kind of keep an eye on it because once those first call it three legs. Once the first three legs hit, you can start like small hedging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If leg four doesn't look good, put $20 on just to get your money back, and then just kind of build from there. That's what I do. My parlay missed by one leg last night because the Blue Jays decided to get no hit by the White Sox through like six innings. Even though they had Kikuchi or whatever his name is going for them, he's a great pitcher. I was able to get my money back, but just by betting on the White Sox live. But fuck, man, like, what are you?
Yeah,
you can't beat the fucking White Sox.
Yeah, I mean the Blue Jays are a fucking loser organization.
They are getting dangerously close to the White Sox of 3 years ago territory, right? I mean, people forget the White Sox were supposed to be the next big fucking thing. Like, they had all the talent, pitching and hitting, and it just never happened. And now they're at the bottom, and they're going to sell off what little they have left. They've already. Some of it became worthless, like Tim Anderson. He couldn't even do anything. But Dylan Cease is gone. Do they still have that closer, Liam Hendricks? Is he still there?
I don't know if Hendricks is still there or not, but Abreu went to fucking the Astros.
Abreu, who won the MVP in 2020. Yeah,
and they still have their other outfielder, and they, Eloy Jimenez.
Yeah.
But he's been banged up.
Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert both
Luis
there.
Luis Robert, yeah. But
Yon Moncada is still there.
Yeah.
They still got a couple of those pieces, but yeah, it fell apart. And that's what it starts to feel like the Blue Jays, right? Like, they were the same way. Gausman, they obviously added via free agency or whatever.
Yeah, but they've added people before. They added Stroman at some point. Gausman came over. Who's the other pitcher they added Berrios? A couple years ago? Berrios, yeah. from he came from Cleveland, right? It's like, yeah, they've brought over good pieces. They just, that organization's just a bunch of fucking losers.
But then they grew good pieces out of their farm too. Yeah. All their Nepo babies.
Two of them.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be more.
Yeah, Kevin Biggio is not a Major League Baseball player.
No. No. And honestly, where the fuck has Vlad Jr. been?
I don't know, he's hitting like fucking 230 or something, I think, right now. The last time I looked.
Yeah, it's not good. I do not know what his deal is. The Blue Jays kind of falling apart, and you kind of wonder how much is left with them. I mean, he's 279, but he's slugging 385. He's only got 4 home runs.
These numbers are parallel to fucking Acuna, to be honest.
Yeah, except he doesn't have speed to offer. Mm-hmm. Although he has a much better WRC plus right now than Acuna does.
I mean, Kevin Biggio is hitting 198.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a team that absolutely just kind of fell apart. Kikuchi, by the way, is a great pitcher, too. Like, they have a good 1-2-3 in their rotation. It is very odd why they are not doing better. With Berrios, Gausman, I mean, it's, yeah, weird. Anyway, yeah, those are our bets. Like I said, watch. You got to kind of pay attention so you can, if the first 3 legs hit especially, you can start hedging out. Just to keep your money, keep yourself from losing. But yeah, once you get to that last or second to last leg, my bookie will let you cash out. I wouldn't really cash out to the last leg.
Yeah.
Because that's where you max out your value. But you do you. It's fun, man. It's fun to bet these games. It's fun to watch. It's fun for me to get angry at a Marlins Diamondbacks game late at night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, having your entire parlay rest on it will do that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, those are our bets for this weekend. We'll drop them in the Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group. Join that if you have not already. That is where Dan puts his golf picks. That's where we all put our college football picks, NFL picks, baseball picks, which we make on mybookie.com. For Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. That's all I've got.
See ya.